بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد بن عبد الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. Respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, my young friends, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. We are in the process of witnessing, of seeing the seasons change. So we have seen and experienced winter, then we got a bit of spring, and then we thought we had summer, and then it feels like spring again. But nonetheless, the transition is happening right now. And this is, as we know it, gardening season. So the flyers are filled with nice pictures of flowers and vegetables for people to buy plants. The garden centers are open, and many people have picked up over the past long weekend flowers and many plants to plant in their gardens. Think of someone, and there are people like that, who have paid no attention to all of this. So when they saw the flowers and the plants and the flyers and the garden centers, they didn't care. They saw their neighbors bringing plants in and planting them in the ground, and they were too busy doing other things that they didn't pay any attention to that. Then when the crops and the flowers start blooming and start flourishing, they start feeling left out. So later on, in July, for example, and in August, when everything is, all the flowers are out, full bloom, and then the nice vegetables are coming out in people's backyards and in the farms, then they're going to feel left out. So think of that person who, when he starts seeing the flowers blooming and he sees the vegetables, the crops coming out, then he runs to the store to buy some seeds to plant, plant some seeds so that he can have a plant that will bring some vegetables. Or he runs to the store and he finds that the garden center is closing and now there are some flowers that are, you know, half dead and drying on sale on clearance for 50% off. And then he brings those home and he plants them and he puts the seeds in the ground at that time. Is he going to see any results, any vegetables that season? No. And even the next, they're not going to come out. Okay? And the flowers as well, they will be few, you know, very weak, not very strong, and not very nice to look at. So clearly the quality and the results of the person who makes these last ditch attempts and efforts to establish a garden won't be the same as the results and the experience of the person who has planned in advance and who has put effort into it beforehand. One of the great pious predecessors of the past, by the name of Abu Bakr al-Warraq al-Balqi rahmahullah, he said that the month of Rajab, the month which we are in right now and which is about to come to a close, the month of Rajab, Shahru Rajab, Shahru Zara, is the month for planting. Rajab is the month for planting. And the month of Sha'ban, which is about to start on Monday, inshallah, is the month of irrigating the crops. And what is to follow after Sha'ban? The month of Ramadan, about which he says, and the month of Ramadan is the month of harvesting the crops. So let's repeat that again. The month of Rajab is the month of planting. The month of Rajab is the month for planting. The month of Sha'ban is the month of irrigating the crops, meaning giving them water. And وَشَهْرُ رَمَضَانِ شَهْرُ حَصَادِ الزَّرَعِ. And the month of Ramadan is the month of harvesting the crops. So, and when we look at the example of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we find that he was very active. He was very active in the month of Sha'ban. And this is mentioned in the hadith. And foremost, what he would do in the month of Sha'ban is fast. Aisha radiallahu anha, she says, فَمَا رَأَيْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ إِسْتَكْمَلَ صِيَامَ شَهْرٍ إِلَّا رَمَضَانَ وَمَا رَأَيْتُهُ أَكْثَرَ صِيَامًا مِّنْهُ فِي شَعْبَانَ. That I have never seen the Blessed Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam fast for a whole month besides the month of Ramadan, and I have not seen him keep more fasts, meaning outside of the month of Ramadan, than in the month of Sha'ban. There's a similar hadith from Usamah ibn Zayd radiallahu anhu, who said that he asked, he said, I said, O Messenger of Allah, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I do not see you fasting in any other month like you fast in Sha'ban. O Messenger of Allah, I do not see you fasting in any other month like you fast in Sha'ban, meaning outside of Ramadan, in terms of the nafl, the optional fast. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied and he said, قال ذلك الشهر يغفل الناس عنه بين رجب ورمضان. He said, this is a month to which people do not pay attention to. This is a month, meaning the month of Sha'ban, is a month to which people normally do not pay attention to between Rajab and Ramadan. وهو شهر ترفع فيه الأعمال إلى رب العالمين. And it is a month in which deeds, our actions, our good deeds are lifted. Our actions and our أعمال are lifted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the Lord of the worlds. And he said, فَأُحِبُّ أَن يُرْفَعَ عَمَلِي وَأَنَا صَائِمٌ. فَأُحِبُّ أَن يُرْفَعَ عَمَلِي وَأَنَا صَائِمٌ. I like for my deeds to be lifted up when I am fasting. So this is from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now the thing is that doing righteous deeds, doing good deeds at a time when people are distracted and are negligent is more difficult, right? So the clear example of that is if you're in an environment where everyone else is praying, then it becomes a lot easier. So if you're in a place and the adhan is being called outside and everyone is rushing to the masjid, then it's a lot more easier to be inclined towards prayer and to go for prayer. On the other hand, if you're alone, you're at work, or you're somewhere where no one else is praying, then you have to make an effort, and it appears to be a bit more difficult to actually go ahead and do that. So it is more difficult to do a good deed, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when people are negligent and when people are distracted. And one of the indications of how virtuous a deed is how difficult it is. Right? If it's more difficult, then it is more virtuous as well. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that worship at the times of tribulation, at the times of fitna, is like hijrah to me. So there's a great virtue if a person worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at a time of upheavals and trials and difficulties where people are, you know, following their desires or they're doing different things and a person has to struggle. So there's a great virtue for that, according to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that is the first thing that we learn. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would fast in the month, which the month that he would feel, and he said, was neglected normally by people. Because Rajab was one of the sacred months, and then Ramadan, of course, very important month, and Sha'ban comes in between, so it is a month which is normally neglected. Secondly, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that it is the month during which deeds are lifted up. It is the month in which turfa'u fihi al-a'mal, right? The deeds are lifted إِلَى رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ, to the Lord of the world, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all-knowing, of course. He is alim, khabir, he knows what we are doing as we do it. Of course, in his eternal knowledge, he even knows before something happens. However, this may indicate that there are reports that are compiled and presented and filed with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there's different ahadith that talk about when this happens. So in the morning and in the evening, the angels file their daily reports, then there are the weekly reports which are filed on Thursdays, and these are the annual reports. The annual reports of our deeds which are filed, which may be filed with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they are presented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah knows best how it is done, but whatever the form, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was concerned enough. He was concerned enough about this that he would actually fast, and he said that he wanted the deeds to be presented at a time when he was fasting and he was engaged in an act of worship. We also learn from Aisha radiallahu anha that it was her practice and the practice of others as well that they would use Sha'ban, the opportunity of the month of Sha'ban, to make up for their missed fast from the previous Ramadan. So if there were any fasts which were missed for whatever reason, then this was the time, the best time, to make up for those fasts, because of course Ramadan is coming up, and ideally, and according to many of the scholars, they really should be made up before the next Ramadan comes along. So fasting in the month of Sha'ban, a type of training, right, for Ramadan. So we're getting used to fasting, and for us, it's even more important, right, because there's a big shift that happens. So we are used to eating three meals a day, and we're used to snacking and drinking during the day, and having our breaks, and all of a sudden, if you go cold turkey and try to fast for 17, 18 hours, then it can be difficult for our body. So this is a chance, as the month of Sha'ban comes in, to train ourselves and our bodies to get accustomed to fasting during the month of Ramadan, as well, so that we feel strong and energetic, and our bodies are used to it when the time, when Ramadan actually comes along, so that we're not, you know, suffering through withdrawal and all these different types of types of symptoms because of the fact that all of a sudden we have changed our schedules very drastically. However, if it is the opposite, so for example, if someone actually fasts through Sha'ban, and that ends up weakening the person to the point where they may not be able to fast during the month of Ramadan, then don't fast. Then in that case, you want to preserve your energy, and you want to keep yourself as healthy and as fit as possible so that you're actually able to do the obligatory fast of Ramadan. But if fasting in Sha'ban is going to help in getting you used to it, like I'm sure it would help me, so inshallah I will try, then we should certainly go ahead and do it. So as we can see, this is a special month, the month of Sha'ban, as indicated by the Prophet ﷺ through his actions. And when we look at the actions of our pious predecessors as well, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum and the other Salaf of the past, we find that they all were very much valued and honored the month of Sha'ban. So we don't want to be like the ones that the Prophet ﷺ is describing and saying that, oh, they overlooked the month and they don't pay any heed to it. So we want to actually try to make an effort to start moving towards the state in which we want to be in the month of Ramadan. Now the month of Sha'ban is also known for something else. And that is the 15th of Sha'ban. So the night of the 15th of Sha'ban and the day of the 15th of Sha'ban. The Prophet ﷺ is reported to have said, and this is a hadith which has been graded, meaning the chain of narration has been graded as being good. The Prophet ﷺ said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَيَطَّلِعُ فِي لَيْلَةِ النِّصْفِ مِنْ شَعْبَانِ فَيَغْفِرُ لِجَمِيعَ خَلْقِهِ إِلَّا لِمُشْرِكٍ أَوْ مُشَاحِنٍ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks over at His creation on the 15th night of Sha'ban and forgives everyone but for two types of people. So a mushrik, the one who is doing shirk, a polytheist, and one who holds a grudge against people. The person who has malice in his heart or has a grudge against other people. Now, if you were to go and ask Mufti Google regarding the 15th of Sha'ban, you would find two diametrically opposed views. So either you will find some websites and scholars saying that this is either a very special night and a very special day in the year that should be honored, or you will find people saying that it is one of the most well-known blameworthy innovations which should not be practiced at all and no heed should be paid towards it. Okay, so these are two types of things you're going to find. So that's why we recommend that it's better not to ask Mufti Google, because if you start reading everything, you end up being even more confused. So that's why it's better to speak to someone in person or someone who you trust. The reason for this difference is that there are two different approaches that the scholars have taken. Okay, so one group of scholars has taken the approach that they will do and they will propagate only that which is strictly and which has been authentically proven through the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. So if there is a practice or something which is being done or has been done in the past or even done by scholars or by whomever, if we cannot find the evidence for that, and the evidence should be authentic and it should be rigorously authenticated, then we practice it. Otherwise, it should be left alone and it should not be practiced. So that's one approach. The second approach, or the other approach, is to take into account the actions, the opinions of the pious predecessors, the people of the Salaf, of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, of the scholars, the great scholars, especially, you know, including the Imams of Fiqh, the great scholars, even Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, various scholars. So when we look at their opinions and we look at what their practice was of these people who are pious and people who are of knowledge, and everyone agrees upon that, we find that they had discussed this night and this day, and they had shown some reverence to it. And even then there may have been some differences, but it was generally accepted that there was something of merit regarding this night and this day. So the second group of scholars will say that there must have been something established about it, about the 15th of Sha'ban as being good and as being correct. And that's why these people of knowledge and these people who we all accept to be of people of understanding and people of piety actually acted upon it. And if it was something which was blameworthy or if it was something which did not exist, then they would not have acted upon it. And that is what we expect from them. So therefore, then the second group will say that yes, there is some merit. Although yes, there is some discussion regarding the authenticity of the chain of narrations of these ahadith and so on and so forth, but that there is something of value there. And the second group does not want to let any opportunity go. They don't want to let go of any opportunity which may have some potential of goodness in it. Now I was thinking about this, so I said, okay, what is the best way to reconcile these two? Okay, because these are, and this is one thing we have to understand, that from time to time we find differences of opinion, and sometimes they may seem very drastic. There may be a big difference, a large contrast between the two. But of course we respect the pious people, we respect everyone, especially the people of knowledge and the people of piety. So we take that in a good way and we say, okay, how can we make this work? So if you think about it, nobody has any issues with actual acts of ibadah. Okay? So nobody's going to say that, oh, you shouldn't worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during the night. You know, that you shouldn't pray tahajjud, for example. Or that you shouldn't recite Qur'an, or recite more Qur'an. Or, you know, that you shouldn't make dua. Everyone agrees that these are good things, right? These are good things, and we should try to do them as much as possible. And these are all established, and these are all recommended, and there's no question about them. Fasting, as we know, is also encouraged in the month of Sha'ban, right? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would do that as well, through the entire month. Even every month, the Ayyamul Bidh, right? The 13th, 14th, and 15th of each month, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would fast as well. He would also fast on Mondays and Thursdays. That was his regular practice. And people would also make up their missed fast. So we know that fasting is encouraged as well in the month of Sha'ban. So what we try to do, I think the best approach is, in my opinion, is to try to incorporate all of this and do it on the 15th as well. Okay, so in the month of Sha'ban, we all try to increase our regular worship. Okay, so try to perform tahajjud, try to increase dua, try to increase the recitation of Qur'an, try to increase charity, do all of those things. Do them periodically through the month, or whenever it is possible, and incorporate the 15th into it as well. And that way, you are doing good. Okay, you're not doing anything bad. You're following the established sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to increase worship in Sha'ban and to do all of these good things. You're also preparing for the month of Ramadan, and whatever blessings there may be, if there are any on the night and the day of the 15th, then you get to reap that as well, inshaAllah. And then there's no risk of doing anything against the established sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Right? So we come up with a solution which increases good, right? Which doesn't decrease us in doing goodness, but is also done in a way which minimizes any potential issues. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Because we want to increase in goodness as much as possible. Right? We want to increase in goodness as much as possible because Sha'ban is the time to revive our hearts, right? To warm up. Okay, it's like starting a car in the winter time. Right? If it's minus 30 outside and you try to hop into your car and you hadn't plugged in a block heater or anything and you try to start off and drive and zoom away, right? Nowadays the new cars, maybe it's a little bit different, but still you need some time to warm up. So this Sha'ban is the time to revive our hearts, to warm up and to get that spirituality back. Right? We don't want to be here in the first Friday of Ramadan and then we realize, oh yes, okay, yeah, it's Ramadan, oh yes, okay, this is a good reminder, now I need to start thinking about these, I need to start planning. By then, you know, a third of the month, or a quarter of the month has already gone, right? And we've lost those valuable days. So we want to start planning and start warming up now. This is the time, as the month of Sha'ban comes. Actually, we're already a little bit behind, because it should start in Rajab. Okay, but Rajab is almost gone, Sha'ban is coming up, and this is the time to take the opportunity for that. So how do we prepare? You know, many times for Ramadan, you know what's going to happen on the last weekend before Ramadan. And it's a long weekend as well. And everyone's going to be making trips, you know, getting all the groceries, right? Making sure that we have all the supplies for all the tasty food that we're going to eat at iftar, inshallah, right? And for suhoor as well. But we want to prepare, first and foremost, spiritually. Right? Because that's what really Ramadan is about. Right? It's not about staying hungry. It's not about enjoying, you know, and socializing on Saturdays with free food for iftar. Yes, we do that as well, alhamdulillah. But that's not the purpose, of course. Okay, so we want to start by preparing ourselves spiritually. So we want to become regular in our prayers. If that is something that we are lacking in, either we are missing prayers or we are praying them late, you want to make sure that we become regular and timely in our prayers. If we are already doing that, we want to improve the quality of our prayer. Right? We want to spend some more time, maybe not be so rushed in our prayers. We want to increase the extra prayers, right? The nawafil and the sunnah. We want to increase those as well as much as possible. Because of course in Ramadan we will be, inshallah, hopefully we will have the opportunity to come and to pray, you know, offer qiyam and taraweeh and so on. So we want to ensure that you're ready for doing that as well. Reconnect with the Qur'an. Right? Reconnect with the Qur'an. Do we need to refresh our knowledge of recitation of Qur'an? Do we need to take some courses? Do we need, you know, to prepare in some way and get used to reciting the Qur'an? We want to reconnect our relationships and clean our hearts with one another. Right? Because we don't want any obstacles to our du'as being accepted. We don't want any obstacles to our deeds being accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for the people who we may have offended or we have had some disagreements with through the year, we try to reach out and try to clean our hearts of any type of malice or grudge that may exist. Because as we have heard in the hadith, that could be an obstacle to gaining forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we clean our hearts, wipe them clean, reach out to people, apologize if we need to, whatever it is. But we clean our hearts and we set things straight. Also make sure about halal and haram. Right? Because we don't want our prayers not to be accepted. Because this can be an obstacle as well. For our supplications to be accepted, if a person is consuming and is living in haram, then that could be in prohibited things, and that can be an obstacle as well. You know, somebody recently mentioned and was asking about, you know, people stopping drinking 40 days before the month of Ramadan. Right? Because they want to make sure that they're clear by the time Ramadan comes, that they're clear of this practice, their bodies have been cleared up, and that there is no obstacle when it comes to the worship of the month of Ramadan. Now when we think about that, it seems strange for many people. That you're going to stop drinking just for the month of Ramadan. What is this? Is this a joke? Right? But I would say, alhamdulillah, you know, it's good that you're stopping. And when you stop, you know, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you the ability to stop, and may He make you steadfast in stopping drinking and any other sins which we may be committing. And make the intention and make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He enables you and He gives you the strength to continue to stop and not to begin again after the month of Ramadan. Right? So if a person is actually revering the month of Ramadan and thinking, okay, I need to stop drinking, that means he's doing that because of some goodness inside him. Right? Even though he may be committing a sin, and we all commit shortcomings and commit mistakes, drinking can be a major sin, no doubt about that. At the same time, the fact that a person is even thinking about stopping the sin is a good sign. Right? It means that he is caring about the month of Ramadan, he's conscious about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase that concern inside all of us so that it continues even after the month of Ramadan, inshaAllah. Clear ourselves of shirk as well. Now of course we say, okay, we're in the masjid, we're praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how can we be doing shirk? But there are, you know, small forms of shirk as well, smaller forms which we may be doing and which we may not even realize. So think about how much we depend on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How much tawakkul do we have? How much reliance do we have on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or do we rely on objects and things instead? Do we rely on money instead? And do we feel that wealth is the source of all prosperity that's coming to us? Do we feel that any cures that happen to us are only because of, you know, the medicine or the doctor and so on and so forth? So think about these things and clear our minds and refresh our yaqeen and our belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that He is the only one who does anything, and anything else that appears to us that is benefiting us is only a means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has employed. Physically now. So make sure that you're physically fit. If you have some diseases, some illness, speak to your doctor. I mentioned this some time ago as well. You know, make sure that you're able to get through the fast safely, because of course you don't want to harm yourself. Try pushing meals aside, smaller meals, you know, earlier breakfast, maybe later lunch, skipping lunch, later dinner, so that your body is accustomed to when you actually start fasting. Exercise as well, because of course when we are offering our prayers such as Taraweeh, that is a form, you know, that your body, you want to be fit so that you don't feel super tired. If you have any addictions, right, so if you're used to smoking, which is of course very bad for your health, but if you smoke, or if you, let's for example, are addicted to coffee or caffeine or Red Bull or whatever it is, right, try to start phasing it out now, so that you don't show up, you know, the next day after you start fasting, you know, looking like this, and you're not able to do anything at your work and, you know, and if you're studying. So try to start working on those right now. And finally, mentally as well, look at the timings. Prepare yourself mentally. Look at the calendar for Ramadan. It's up on the website. Okay, download it, print it out, look at it, know when the first, you know, suhoor is going to be, when is the first iftar going to be, how long is it going to be, what do I need to do, and be positive about it. You know, for many, many years I used to be very burdened with Ramadan for some reason. Maybe it was because of leading Taraweeh, or I don't know what it was. Whatever it was, I used to be very burdened about it, right? But let's try to look at it very positively. Right? It's a great opportunity from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, an awesome opportunity. And this is something we should be excited about. Because there are people, as we know, who were here with us last Ramadan and they're not. this year. We don't even know if you're going to make it till the month of Ramadan or not. We still have over a month to go. So let's be excited about it and be positive about it to say that yes, this is a tremendous opportunity, which inshallah we will have once again. And we will be able to take this opportunity to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to get cleaned up. Don't look at it as a burden. Be positive, be excited, and think about all the ways that you can benefit yourself, inshallah. Finally, I would say compare year to year. Compare your performance year to year. So think back a year ago, this time before Ramadan, a month before Ramadan, how did you feel? Are you feeling any better now? Are you feeling closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Are you feeling more excited about the month of Ramadan? Are you committing the same types of sins you used to commit back a year ago? Or is it better now? Or are you worse off? What is the situation? Analyze yourself. And ask yourself, okay, what can I do to change? How can I improve? We all have to improve. Right? We have to continue to improve. So we should never become stagnant and become, feel like, okay, we're good enough and that's it. No, we always need to continue improving. Everyone does. Okay, so analyze yourself privately. How you were a year ago, how are you feeling about Ramadan, how are you feeling now? Is it better? Is it worse? Is it the same? Why? What can you do to improve it? Inshallah. Well, again, I'll very nice quote from Abu Bakr al-Warraq al-Balkhi rahimahullah, as I mentioned earlier. He also said, the likeness of the month of Rajab is that of the wind. The likeness of the month of Rajab is that of the wind. The month of Rajab is almost done. The likeness of Sha'ban is that of the clouds. So Rajab is like the wind, Sha'ban is like the clouds, and the likeness of Ramadan is that of the rain. Whoever does not plant and sow in Rajab and does not irrigate in Sha'ban, how can he reap in Ramadan? How can he reap in Ramadan? Now Rajab has passed, so what will you do in Sha'ban if you are seeking Ramadan? This is how your Prophet ﷺ and the early generations of the Ummah were in this blessed month. So what will you do? And I will leave it with that, inshaAllah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us, enable us to be in the right mindset, to be fully prepared for the month of Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take us there. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would pray, Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Sha'ban wa balighna Ramadan. Right? So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to welcome the blessed month. May He allow us to be blessed. May He bless us in this month and the next month. May He allow us to be fully prepared so that we have a better Ramadan than we did last year, inshallah. There's a sister whose grandmother has passed away in Bangladesh. So we ask that everyone, the family has requested that we make dua for her maghfirah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant her complete maghfirah and grant her a high station in Jannah, inshallah. And we pray for all of those who have left us and all of those who are sick. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive those who have passed. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cure those who are ill. Ameen wa akhudam wa alhamdulillah.